Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's not possible to talk about pride and the movement that is pride without tracing it back to its roots. And in, for all intents and purposes, not that queer people haven't been fighting to be seen for generations, but the modern pride movement started with the Stonewall riots in 1969. Right. That's when Marsha P. Johnson and others decided to fight back, to throw some bricks and say, listen, we're tired of this. We're tired of the cops harassing us. We're done. So we're so honored today to be joined by Elle Moxley, the founder and executive director of the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. Elle, how are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Well, it's interesting that you got us on a day where, for the first time in the history of our show, we have two cis white gay men hosting the show today because my co-host is gone today. And that's never the case, but here we are. And we were talking a little bit ago about how, gosh, growing up in Ohio as a gay man in like the late 90s and early 2000s, I just thought of the gay movement as a bunch of gay white guys. Because that's what I saw, right? Mm-hmm. But that is not the case, and it's never, ever been the case. Talk to us about the importance of what you do at the Marsha P. Johnson Institute and why our community in particular just needs to know more so we can do better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I share that with you, that I also, as someone from Ohio, as a little black girl, you know, grew up thinking that Pride was very white and it was very, you know, man. And it wasn't until I came into my own journey and own understanding and experiences that there were other people in the world like me who looked like me and had similar but not the same stories. And I learned about Marsha P. Johnson, who was a tremendous advocate and activist and voice for generations, you know, that predated her and for generations that existed and exists now because of her. And so the Marsha P. Johnson Institute is an organization that works to protect and defend the human rights of Black transgender people. And we do this really by advocating and creating community. Our goal is always to heal and to develop transformative leadership and to really build and to demonstrate our collective power. There's so much atrocity in the world, and so much violence has been documented specifically towards the community of Black trans women. And so we understood that we had a responsibility to really make sure that Black trans people are protected, that our voices are nourished, and that we are really undoing anti-Blackness and white supremacy in all of its forms by continuing to take action and continuing to give people safe space to be able to take action.
I find that a lot of the white cisgender folks I know in the LGBTQ community, or even straight allies, that it's almost like a surprise to them to discover that there's such roots in our history of, you know, Black transness, and we have so much work to do in supporting our Black trans friends and family. What can, I mean, I think it feels overwhelming and people don't always do something. So what can folks like me do to support the work that you're doing and to support the causes that you're supporting?
You know, I think one of the most important things is to really make sure that you are spending this time actually being studious in the same way that we are joyous. You know, this month, the Marsha P. Johnson Institute's theme for Pride is radical pride, the politics of unrest. You know, we recognize that there's a certain level of resistance that must occur to what is currently happening in the world, whether it is the attempt to appeal the reproductive rights of people, including Black transgender people. We recognize that there are massive mass shootings happening all over this country, especially the shootings that are happening to the most marginalized children and people of color, black people. You know, so we recognize that this is not only a time to celebrate identity and preference, but it is a time to really celebrate and study that there's a history that predates us, and we have an opportunity now to get that right. You know, so, you know, with more than 300 anti-trans bills introduced across the country, you know, we have to be just as studious and resilient in our resistance in the same ways that we are in our celebration and, you know, our display of our joy for who we are.
Well, I love
it
that.
It all works hand in hand.
I love that because I feel like we can all talk and, or walk and chew gum at the same time. And a lot of times the conversation is one or the other.
Yeah.
You either need to be like this downtrodden person fighting for every right all the time and never experience joy, or you're joyful and blissfully unaware while other people are suffering. And you're saying, excuse me, like we need to do both. And it's what I love about you. Maybe it's that Midwestern mentality. Where in Ohio are you from?
I'm from Columbus.
Okay, me too.
You know, it's exactly. Yeah, I'm from the 614. I'm a 614 girl all day.
So, okay, so that's interesting
that's
because
right.
I know the history of Columbus, and I was there back in the day when there were, like bars for our community everywhere, and it's changed. The Short North has changed a bit, but it's still, like, a little safe space for queer people in, like, the Midwest. And I'm on your site, the Marsha P. Johnson Institute, which is marshap.org, by the way, if our listeners want to go check it out or make a donation. And I know the mentality of people in Ohio who don't fully understand the movement, especially the trans movement, right? And they don't fully wrap their brains around what it means to be, like, proudly black in America, right? And one of your number one value says that we believe that black people are the future. Now, for those listening who might be a little bit, like, uneasy with that statement, because I understand it. I get it. I'm getting married soon. And my partner's black. We're probably going to have biracial children someday that the world will see as black.
So they're literally your future.
They literally are my future. And listen, white people have messed it up for enough years. I'm okay. Let somebody else, you know. But for those who don't understand that statement, what do you mean by that? That black people are the future.
I think we have to really root ourselves in the history of not only Ohio, Columbus, but just the world. You know, and colonization is something that the world has not reconciled, you know, and we've seen this in the repression of movements to really call for reparations as a form of upending the equity and wealth gap that exists. You know, the world's wealth would not exist if it had not been for the labor of black and African people, and also if land had not been stolen from indigenous communities. And so when you root yourself in that understanding and that truth, then the future is black makes so much more sense, because how we have everything that we have already is documented how it was achieved. So, you know, when we say that, you know, black people are the future, is because we know the value of not only our worth, but we also know the history. And so when we think about the future and what is happening during today's, you know, massive, I think, shift in so many ways, you know, whether it's the pandemic, you have so many different global pandemics that are affecting people. We have to make those kind of statements, because if not, there will continue to be a decrease in the community, in a community that has sustained civilization throughout hundreds of years.
Hell, I could not agree with you more. Listen.
This uneasiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
I can go on and on about it.
Oh, I know. Listen, I know. And we are definitely going to have you back, because I love these conversations. I also love that you're from Ohio, but that's neither here nor there. Elle Moxley, founder and executive director of the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. Please join us again soon.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, Black Beauties.
Amen.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.